Welcome to the Food Matters Live podcast, where we showcase the innovations, the big ideas and the visionaries in the food industry. We dig deep, we look to the future and the past, and we question everything we think we know about food. I'm Anthony Zara, and this episode has been made in partnership with Beneo. Now, we know that in many parts of the world, we have an ageing population. In the UK, official figures show the number of people aged 65 and over has increased from 9 million to 11 million in the last decade. So healthy ageing and heart health in particular are things many of us have on our minds. Now, we've spoken before on the podcast about the difference between an increased lifespan and an increased health span, i.e. spending our later years in good health. And in this episode, we're going to explore what the market is like for products that make healthy aging claims, what trends we're seeing among consumers, and how the food and drink industry is rising to that challenge. And with me to guide us on that journey are two fantastic guests. Mike Hughes is Head of Research and Insight at FMCG Gurus. Welcome back to the podcast, Mike. We've had you on before.
Thank you, Anthony.
And Adriana Arias, Country Manager, UK at Beneo. Welcome to the podcast, Adriana.
Thanks very much, Anthony.
All right, Mike, let's start by establishing a clear picture of the market then. So what trends are we seeing in the health and wellness sector related to healthy aging?
Yes, I mean, one clear trend that we're seeing is consumers are looking to stay fitter and active until as late as life as possible and break stereotypes associated with aging, adopting a forever young ethos. We know people are delaying traditional life cycles, breaking them up, you know, doing things in later in life that they normally would have 10, 15, 20 years ago. One trend that I always like to see at the moment, I think it's a good indicator of how consumers associate aging, is when you see memes on social media where there's ridicule around what a 40-year-old, what a 50-year-old looked like in the 1980s, 1990s compared to now. You know, people deem themselves to be a lot younger physically and emotionally. You know, at the same time, they do recognize that as they're getting older, there's increased vulnerability to disease and illness. They also recognize that there is that barrier between living till later in life and living a healthier life. You know, that's something that's we often see where people have seen their older relatives spend the last few years of their lives in relative discomfort, having an impact on quality of life and want to avoid that. So we're seeing this real focus on preventative health, particularly as, you know, people recognize that there's various challenges to staying fit and active until later in life. And, you know, some of these are out of their control. You know, there's macroeconomic issues related to price inflation, to uncertainty that will impact on their stress, which will then impact on their blood pressure levels, for example, that they look to address and keep hold of. You know, I think one key group that is really important to discuss with this is Generation X, because they're kind of at that crossroads where they recognize that they're not old. They certainly don't feel old. They don't like to be reminded that they're getting older. But at the same time, they realize that they're not as younger as they used to be, and they need to start making those fundamental changes to their health and wellness. So, you know, look, 69% of consumers now are saying that they're taking this long-term approach to health. So it's not, you know, restricted to them, but I think it does show that good overlap. It shows that this is, you know, something that's applicable to all demographics. But I think, you know, we kind of need to start looking at those mid-age and older as like the key drivers of healthy aging. One other trend that we've also seen, and I think it's important to highlight, is that, you know, rising prices are having an influence on healthy aging, both in terms of, you know, potentially causing those feelings of stress, but, you know, also resulting in consumers taking that more considered approach to purchasing within the health and wellness market. You know, consumers, you know, are driven by value. So if they're going to go to turn to these products to help them live a healthier life, they need to believe these products are credible, which is why, for example, 57% of consumers in the UK say scientific evidence is important when purchasing products, but they want products that they know and trust, deem effective and essential, and, you know, are absolutely integral to helping maintain that good quality of life.
Well, we'll talk a bit more about the cost of living, because obviously it's such a huge issue. So we'll get onto that a bit later. It's interesting, though, what you were saying about Generation X, that people don't want to be told they're old, basically. It's quite hard to market products in that way, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's about having a positive message. And I think with any kind of health and wellness market, I think this is especially true for heart health, which we're going to discuss more. But I think you have to give it that aspirational positioning. You have to position products with breaking stereotypes rather than to conform into stereotypes, and really relaying messages around fun, vibrancy and energy as opposed to kind of vulnerability to disease and illness.
Sure. Yeah. And are there specific areas that consumers are interested in or they're concerned about within healthy aging?
Yeah, well, I mean, healthy aging obviously covers a wide variety of areas. And what's been really interesting over the last few years is, you know, the dynamics of what consumers are prioritizing has you know, shifted and shifted several times. And obviously there's, you know, COVID a few years back had an influence on that. And thankfully what we're seeing now is this kind of return to normal. Consumers are still taking this proactive approach to health, you know, they're actively looking to stay fit and active. It's less driven by fear of illness as it was a few years ago, you know, where consumers aren't, you know, putting on the media every day and having all this negative news. And one of the things that we've kind of seen around this is consumers are taking this back to basic approach, and they're focusing on getting the core essentials right and saying, hey, you know what, you know, functional products are great. But at the same time, these products will only be effective if I get the absolute core essentials right. So that's one, basically having a healthy diet, getting the right amount of exercise, having the right amount of rest and recuperation. And it's focusing on the absolute core areas of health. And one area where it seems kind of been overlooked the last couple of years, because we've seen a lot of information around digestive health, around cognitive health, around immunity for obvious reasons, is heart health, you know, because it's at the center to everything. You know, consumers realize that if they don't have good heart health, you know, they're not going to have this good quality of life. And we see that, you know, consumers are prone to suffering things from hypertension, high blood pressure, high cholesterol levels. You know, 40% of consumers our research showed last year in the UK aren't satisfied with their heart health. And that is such a big figure considering, you know, how fundamentally basic heart health is to overall wellness. You know, and 56% say that they're interested in heart health products even when not suffering from symptoms. You know, so we're seeing this real kind of focus on saying, actually, you know, of course areas like digestive health are important, of course cognitive health are important, but actually we need to get the absolute essentials right. And now that we can give this a bit more of a rational thought, because, you know, we're not outright driven by this fear of illness we were seeing a few years ago. Consumers are saying, actually, the heart's really central to everything. It's crucial to healthy aging, but then at the same time, there's various diet and lifestyle traits, you know, that are increasing the risk of heart health problems, ranging from, you know, not monitoring sugar intake, for instance, to not having structured dietary plans, to, you know, not getting enough exercise, you know, to even not having enough sleep health. So I think, you know, heart health is going to be a real core area over the next couple of years.
Okay, so what can we say about what's driving that then? What are the consumers telling us?
Yeah, well, I mean, the long-term answer is aging. You know, it's definitely a macroeconomic trend in that influence. And, you know, we see research where I think in the UK by 2050, I remember seeing a stat, something like there's going to be more grandparents than there are teenagers. You know, we know the number of people who've grown up are 80 plus continues to rise. And there's a kind of push and pull element there. You know, in one sense, consumers realize that they're not getting any younger. They'll have seen, you know, older relatives potentially have health problems that they want to avoid, and they want to break these stereotypes. At the other end, consumers realize that as society gets older, then things such as retirement plans have to get pushed back. So it's essential. You know, they also recognize that, you know, an aging population will have a pretty significant impact on the healthcare system in the UK, which many people feel is not suitable at the moment, and that will only put under more pressure. So, you know, aging is the long term, but consumers also realise that, you know, some of these health problems are, you know, self-inflicted. you know, again, just some of the research that we've seen over the last 12 months, 23% of consumers say that they're easily vulnerable to disease and illness, which, you know, to me suggests that one in four people believe that they're in poor health. It's kind of backed up with the fact that, you know, 17% also say that their dietary habits are poor. So, you know, whilst we hear a lot about consumers seeking out functional ingredients, you know, making sure that they avoid and moderate dietary evils, there's many consumers who are over-reliant on processed food, who don't monitor their micronutrient intake, who are prone to overindulging, who are prone to having poorly structured mealtime habits. You know, combine that with things such as busy lives where consumers feel that they don't relax like they should. They're often believe that they spend too much time being inactive on digital devices. But there's a whole host of things where consumers are saying, actually, these are kind of small problems now, in the sense that, you know, they're not posing this immediate challenge, but actually long term, you know, if we keep on doing this, and actually this will have a significant influence long term, and it may not be reversible. So, you know, we know that consumers are looking to, you know, address these issues. You know, again, some of the research, 59% of consumers say that they're actively looking to improve their nutrition levels over the next 12 months. And I think, you know, that's fair to say, quite a lot of people aren't overly satisfied with their dietary habits. You know, the majority of people in the UK feel that they could be improved in certain ways. One third of consumers are actively trying to address high blood sugar levels, which again shows that many people are going, hey, you know, actually my lifestyle could be problematic in the long term. And they realize, again, whilst there's some inevitability around vulnerability to illness long term, they also realize that the diet and lifestyle that they lead are contributing to this in the long term. So we're actively looking to address this.
Okay, so if we know people are concerned about healthy aging, and we know there's an appetite, say, for products that can help with things like, for instance, heart health, how well is the food and drink industry doing in satisfying that demand?
Overall, I'd say they're doing well, but there's always room for improvement. So again, from the research we conducted last year, 49% of consumers say that they're likely to seek out products that aid their heart health when doing an average grocery shopping trip. Now, we need to think about how the average consumer thinks. They don't write a shopping list where they say, pick something up that's good for my heart health. But what they can do is say, actually, there's a variety of ingredients, a variety of products that I know and trust that I associate with helping aid my heart health. And this can be done in two ways. It can be done from picking a functional product with an active ingredient or benefit claim, you know, or it can be done by, you know, everyday food and drink and saying, actually, I know that this product is good for me. They've usually been told that actually, yeah, these products are good for you from an early age. You know, it's been ingrained to them. Whole grain is a prime example of that. We know that consumers, when they're looking to address their heart health, you know, related claims are always particularly popular in the bakery market. So bread, biscuits, cereals. And I think there's two reasons for that. The associations with fiber and whole grain, you know, ingredients that consumers know and trust and associate with aiding their heart health. And also in relation to some of these products, you know, when consumers adopt a debit and credit approach to health, you know, they tend to be more health orientated in the morning. And so what I would say is it's doing a good job. You know, consumers are actively looking to seek stuff out. You know, again, just to drop a stat in, 17% of UK consumers say that they look to ensure that they have enough whole grain in their diets, to make sure that their heart health is okay. But one of the things that I would always say with something like this is consumers are generally satisfied with their level of knowledge of how to improve their heart health. But at the same time, it's really important not to overestimate how educated they are about the specifics. And this is a good example with ingredients. You know, often consumers will be able to say an ingredient that's good for them, but they can't say why it's good for them. And they may not always know how much of it they should have in their daily diets. They may not always know the sources from that. And they may not even be aware sometimes that ingredients have these additional benefits. You know, especially if an ingredient for a long term has primarily been associated with one benefit, but now more research shows that it can also help another area of wellness. So what I would say with this is that there's always scope for new product development, specifically if it's positioned around efficacy, particularly if it's backed up with scientific and credible information, because transparency is something that's synonymous with value. So from a benefit perspective, there's always that opportunity for new product development. And I think from an ingredient awareness perspective, again, there's that opportunity to educate consumers about the variety of ingredients that can help aid heart health.
Fantastic. Okay, Mike's done a brilliant job there sort of setting out the market and some of the research that's out there. So let's look at some of the solutions then. And are there specific product categories that you think present an opportunity here?
I very much think so, and especially at Vineo, within our fibers portfolio, we have just launched a whole grain barley flour, which is rich in beta-glucans. Its name is ORAF-TV Feed, and this can be used in plenty of mainstream products such as breads, cakes, biscuits, and pasta. This ORAF-TV Feed has scientifically proven health benefits on heart health and has been developed with a special barley strain, which allows for high content of beta-glucans compared to other flours, very much related to what Mike was saying about heart health, but also whole grain and everyday products like bakery. ORAF-TV Feed has also an efficient production process, which makes beta-glucans and thus heart health affordable enough to be included in a lot of everyday products such as whole grain bread and other baked goods.
Yeah, okay. So why is bakery a good category option, do you think?
Well, there are a few reasons. The bakery sector is looking to improve the nutritional benefits of baked goods, and our whole grain barley flour can be added to bakery recipes without major adjustments. So far, our customers in bakery have reported improvements in texture, prolonged softness in soft baked goods, and increased shelf life as well. We continue to do trials, of course, but so far we see there are many opportunities and advantages of using our product in bakery. Beta-glucans have proven to help lower cholesterol, and ORAF-TV Feed is very rich in beta-glucans. They are also a dietary fiber which aids digestive health.
Okay. And in terms of from a functional ingredient perspective, what opportunities exist there?
ORAF-TV Feed is very versatile and is affordable. You can use it to manufacture and improve the healthiness of all baked goods because of higher content of beta-glucans. It has a clean taste and a neutral color, and it also has thickening properties and is pH and temperature stable.
Fabulous. You mentioned beta-glucans a number of times there. Maybe it's worth just explaining for those who don't know, and I include myself in that, what they are and why they're beneficial.
I think all the beta-glucans trends have also come with the trends of improved health and wellness, and consumers looking after their own health, and heart health being one of the biggest problems in the modern world. I have been learning a lot about beta-glucans recently as well, and they are fermentable dietary fibers that are present in cereals like barley. They are actually very long molecules composed of glucose molecules linked together with mixed beta-1,4 and beta-1,3 bonds. And our ORAF-TV Feed is rich in beta-glucans with about 20%. As soluble viscous fibers, beta-glucans help reduce blood cholesterol levels, as I said before. They support cardiovascular health and contribute to improve blood sugar levels and support digestive health thanks to the fiber enrichment. I was very interested when Mike mentioned about how people are looking for practical ways of improving their health, and people can lower their cholesterol levels, for example, by consuming just 3 grams of beta-glucans every day. And these are naturally present, as I said, in cereals like oats and barley, but in low dosages, which makes really challenging for people to achieve this required intake of 3 grams per day without proper fortification. So to achieve these 3 grams per day of beta-glucans, for example, one person need to have 3 bowls of oatmeal.
Every day?
But Exactly, yes.
Yeah, okay.
And with ORAF TV feeds, just with 15 grams of the product added into a recipe, these 3 grams a day can be achieved. So it's not actually crazy to be able to improve heart health with beta-glucans containing products.
Let's learn a bit more about beta-glucans then. So what specifically makes them stand out as a good source of fiber?
I would say their viscosity and their fermentability. So beta-glucans are viscous fibers that make food thicker, and as such, they delay the passage through the digestive system. They form a gel-like structure that is a physical barrier that results in several beneficial effects. As I mentioned before, it helps reducing blood cholesterol and hence the risk of coronary heart disease. It also lowers blood sugar response by delaying the uptake of glucose in the small intestine. And they are completely fermented by the gut microbiota in the colon. So they become fuel for our good bacteria. And with a total fiber content of 40%, ORAF TV feed is a great alternative to reduce the fiber gap, which is still very prominent in the UK. We see 90% of people in the UK is still not consuming enough fiber.
I suppose with anything, with any product, when you're fortifying it, that can make it difficult. That can change important things like taste and texture and things like that. And you know, we've been making this podcast for years now. We always hear from experts such as Beneo and others saying, you know, taste and texture is all important. So how easy is it to work with this product in different applications?
Yeah, that's always been taken into consideration, of course, because we eat food to nourish ourselves, but to enjoy as well. And I can say that it's actually very easy. ORAF TV feed is a whole grain flour, and as such, it can be easily included in all type of flour-based applications, such as breads, cakes, muffins, cookies, cereals, and pasta. And the high fiber content leads to high water retention, and its neutral taste and color brings additional benefits on improving texture and extending shelf life on these applications. My colleagues at Beneo have been very busy developing and creating delicious breads, muffins, cereals, pasta, tortillas, waffles, many other different products with ORAF TV feeds, and so far the results have been very good. All-rounded, so taste, texture, appearance. I would just only say that due to the high water retention of beta-glucans, recipes with ORAF TV feed just need more water. And well, as you can see, there are so many unique benefits with our product. And the purpose is really enhance both the nutritional and sensory profile of our customers' products.
Can we talk a bit about clean label? So maybe a good place to start is whether or not consumers fully understand what it means. But very briefly, if you could set out what we do mean by clean label.
Yes, there are many perceptions, and as consumer myself, I see clean label as a simple description and no strange names in the ingredient list of the products that I normally buy, but it can also refer to the manufacturing process of the actual ingredients. So you can produce by using chemicals or by using advanced physical processes that have very little interference on the natural qualities of the product. So this will allow to declare the ingredients simply and as natural as they are. I am happy to confirm that ORAF TV feed is produced from barley, of course, very natural, and by an eco-friendly milling and dry enrichment process, and it can be labeled simply as beta-glucan-rich barley flour.
Okay, all right, that was brilliant. Thank you. Mike, let's look at some more of the research then, if it's okay, and some of the insights. So do we see any demographic differences? You mentioned Gen X earlier, but do we see any demographic differences when it comes to food and drink products positioned, particularly around heart health?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's absolutely crucial not to treat, you know, any country as one homogeneous group, and you know, instead recognize that there's many different types of consumers with different priorities. And the one thing that's always really interesting is when we get asked about healthy aging and kind of confidence with health, There can often sometimes be this perception that, you know, younger people are a lot more satisfied and confident with their health than older consumers. And actually, it's the reverse that's true. We often see with baby boomers, you know, the 65 plus, but they can often feel relatively confident about their health. You know, if particularly if they've got to a certain age and they've never had any serious health problems, they're still living an active life, they feel that they're breaking the stereotypes we discussed. I think COVID did give them a bit of a new sense of perspective as well, where they thought, well, perhaps if I came about that unscathed, I've got a strong immune system. And they're broadly, you know, really satisfied with their health. And it's actually really important with that message, because, you know, they're interested in purchasing products. But one thing that they don't want is feeling about some like young marketer in their early 20s is portraying aging in a really negative way, that they're out of touch with the real world, when really they don't actually see themselves as any different between like a 30 or a 40 year old, except that, you know, they might be a bit older in reality. So, you know, it's about treating them in a positive way, particularly at the same time they tend to have more disposable income. They feel that they won't have to make changes to their health and wellness routines because of rising prices like other demographics. So it's this huge market, and it's kind of really, really important, you know, because they recognize the difference between life expectancy and healthy aging. So targeting them is really, really, you know, a crucial big opportunity market from a size and set spend perspective. But because they're confident with their health, it's very much around prevention over cure. And position it in an aspirational way, where obviously, you know, we've talked about Generation X. I won't talk about them too much. But then if we look at the reverse of the Generation Z and millennials, you know, we often read articles where they're classified as the least healthiest generation in history, you know, for all these different reasons. And it actually seems that younger people actually agree with this sentiment, as opposed to, like, you know, furiously disagreeing with it. They recognize that their diets are nowhere near as healthy as they should be. They realize that they, you know, burn the candles at both ends, both personally and professionally often. They have, you know, various worries, you know, which can impact on their stress level. And that can range from, you know, the desire to demonstrate an appearance to their peers, to difficulty getting on the housing market, to kind of concerns about financial stability later in life. And, you know, we all recognize that this is something that, you know, will impact on their long-term health. You know, but younger people as well, one thing that's really interesting, and making the link between heart health and energy, and kind of going, actually, you know what, they don't look at energy just anything about, you know, hey, you know, perhaps I'm a bit tired, I can sleep it off, you know, and recharge the batteries. Actually, it's a case of that might be more indicative of longer-term health problems. And all of these consumers, that again, they're you know, they're interested in products that help aid heart health. You know, we said earlier 56% of consumers are interested in these products. So it's not just one demographic. One thing that's really interesting, though, particularly with the kind of younger demographic, and this touches upon what Adriana was talking about early on, is consumers, you know, will say, actually, here's an ingredient. You have to eat this amount of it a day to maintain a healthy diet. And they say that's just not realistic. You know, even if I had the best intentions, I can't eat that amount of that ingredient a day. I can't actively monitor it. So these are the kind of consumers that are actually really interested in these fortified products, where you can say, here's the kind of shortcut. It meets your nutritional needs in a convenient and easy way, whilst aligning, you know, with other need states that you have. So, you know, heart health is so essential, but, you know, every single demographic is conscious of it. But I think, you know, the level of conscious is completely different between older and younger. You know, those older people are confident, so they want that aspirational. They're perhaps focused more on the clean label elements of it and making sure that information is completely transparent, where you get those younger people who are really worried about their frantic lifestyles and the impact it's having on their health. And they're the kind of like real core audience for these functional and fortified offerings.
You mentioned earlier as well about cost of living, and we just touched on it really, but obviously it's a huge issue for so many people at the moment. And I wonder what impact that's having on the health and wellness market. Do people turn away when money's tight?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the elephant in the room, isn't it? And something that, where if you've done a presentation on health and wellness over the last, you know, 12 to 18 months, you know, the question of rising prices have come up. I think it's certainly interesting. Consumers have reduced financial confidence. I'm not underestimating the issue, but on a positive, it seems like some of the doomsday scenarios that we originally forecast 12, 18 months ago hasn't yet come to fruition within the food and drink market. I think a lot of industries have been a lot more resilient, at least from a consumer perspective, than we perhaps envisioned. And one thing that's really important to recognize is that, you know, consumers are still purchasing health and wellness products, but they're just moving from this notion of health at all costs to considered health. And I actually think in the long term, this is a real positive for the industry because, you know, consumers now are not just going out and saying, I'm going to buy a product with a health claim on it just purely because I'm reevaluating my life in a way that I never thought I would have done a few years earlier. They're instead making sure that products are effective, essential, and good value for money. And, you know, put simply, that means that they want the claims to stack up. So they want a product where they say, actually, I trust this product. I believe that it will have a positive impact on my health. And consumers are more likely to be governed by value and efficacy over low cost. You know, we've seen examples over the last, you know, 18 months where there's been plenty of new product development, but it's done really well despite commanding a premium price. So, you know, consumers are still willing to trade up. And we also know that, you know, consumers will be concerned if a product is potentially too cheap, if it's not very good. They don't want ingredients streamlining for cost cutting if it's going to impact on the efficacy and the purpose of the product. So it's very much around focusing on that value and, you know, focusing on innovation and quality. And again, making sure that the product fits with your need state so that it's kind of compromised and hassle-free, particularly if you don't think that you're suffering from that symptom. So perhaps measuring the efficacy is a bit difficult. And again, just to tap on something that Adriana mentioned earlier, we asked consumers about what shapes their perceptions of value when buying health and wellness products. Now, 45% in the UK said multiple health benefits. So absolutely great if a heart health product also has digestive health benefits and perhaps a bit benefits cognitive health. That's absolutely fantastic. A higher answer was 59% said taste. So it shows that when consumers are purchasing these products, unless they have a serious health problem, unless they have like serious symptoms that they're actively looking to address immediately before they perhaps have to visit a doctor, which they may be reluctant to do, it kind of shows that actually those multiple health benefits are important because they shape perceptions of value. But it doesn't matter how healthy a product is, if it doesn't taste great, people won't buy it or they won't repeat purchase it. So it's very much around saying to consumers, you don't have to make fundamental changes to your dietary habits. You don't have to follow a diet that's synonymous with compromise and sacrifice to achieve this specified health goal that in reality is very difficult to achieve and maintain just because of the basic nature of what food and drink consumption is. And that's to many people, it's enjoyable as well as nutritious. If you've got a product and say, actually, this tastes great, it's got these positive health benefits and it's free from the bad stuff, you know, that's something that's really crucial to consumers and will shape those perceptions of value. So yes, we do have to acknowledge that price inflation is a challenge. And there is, you know, a proportion of consumers who do struggle and live month to month. But at the same time, you know, I think there is resiliency out there.
Okay. Adriana, so how do the products that Beneo is developing address some of those wider issues we're seeing, such as cost?
Well, I think we are very clever and have been trying to really confront these challenges in the most efficient way. So as a business, we really pride ourselves on launching functional ingredients that are grounded in science and truly connect nutritional benefits with consumer health. But obviously, we also strive on efficient processes to offer competitive solutions. We are just one company in the market. I am proud to be part of a company that truly believes and live their purpose. As mentioned before, we have managed with our FTV feed to produce a much richer beta-glucans product than what is available at the moment in the market. And it's also very high in beta-glucans, which allows affordable and simple product enrichment compared to other beta-glucan sources sources. I can confidently say today that our product is two or three times more affordable. And through the launch of beta-glucans, we are also helping the industry to develop great tasting products that deliver added value at a time when consumers are more and more mindful about what they put in their shopping baskets.
Look, we've had a taste of some of the work being done at Beneo, but there's obviously a lot more that we can get into. And we know that Beneo will be at the Food Matters Live events in Ascot in October, where you'll be one of the ingredient innovation showcases as part of Tastes of Better. Could you give us a little teaser of what attendees can expect and why people should come along and see you there?
Of course, I hope to see many, many people, and they can expect interesting talks and demonstrations on the health and functional benefits of our products, of course. And we will showcase prototypes such as sourdough bread, cereal bars, cereals, chocolates, yogurts, sausages, and meat-free burgers. Everyone would be able to try and see for themselves how we at Beneo, as I said before, live our purpose of putting health and indulgence in the same bite. I love that tagline. And also, there will be a couple of days. So on day two, our nutrition communication expert will be expanding on all the health benefits of our ingredients and how natural they are and how natural we produce them. And me and the team will be very happy to meet and share all our solutions with food technologies developers and food innovators at the event. We'll have a range of different people from different areas in the event. So food technologists, scientists, chefs, nutrition communication experts, and on the commercial side, myself, and a representation of our distribution partners. So yeah, looking forward to the event.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, anyone listening can find out more about attending the Food Matters Live Tastes of Better event by visiting foodmatterslive.com. And I'd encourage you to take a look. There's lots going on there. Okay, all right. Look, Mike, a couple of final questions. From all that we've learned today and all that you've told us, what do you see as the key priorities for the health and wellness sector going forward?
Well, I think, you know, population and demographic change over the next 10 years is going to be a big thing. You know, we talk about consumers wanting to stay fit and active until late as life as possible, you know, breaking neck stereotypes associated with aging. And, you know, people will continue to do that and, you know, adopt this forever young ethos and kind of ridicule the perceptions of how they think a 60 or 70 year old was seen, you know, 10 years ago. So this combined with consumers getting older means that there's just going to be more and more emphasis on this area of wellness, and that'll kind of go into the kind of two areas. The first will be consumers will want to know about everyday ingredients that can help aid heart health, and I think long term as well, you know, we'll see innovation in the functional and fortified market where we will see products blurring the boundaries between your traditional functional products and kind of medical nutrition products. And that will manifest in two ways over the next 10 years. You'll see products where they've got the kind of really medical claims based on that, where you know, where people almost kind of position it as something where it's a substitute for medication. On the reverse of that, you'll see more of the products that we've kind of discussed where it says, hey, here's a really easy and effective way of getting this of the required nutrients to kind of maximize your wellness. And I think there's going to be so much innovation here over the next 10 years.
Lovely, very exciting. So on a personal level then, and this is for both of you, what gets you most excited when we're talking about this sector? Mike, maybe you'd like to go first.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the market just never stands still. You know, we look at the issue of health and wellness, and I've been in this market since 2007. You know, and what we're kind of seeing as health priorities are constantly changing. What are seen as core need states and motivations are constantly changing. What drives consumers from a product attribute is constantly changing. You know, the kind of scrutiny and scientific research put on the industry. And that's before the kind of macroeconomic issues that kind of drive the market, you know, and that can range from the economic issues to the cultural and societal issues to aging. But what it means is that, you know, we see these cycles that the industry needs to be aware and needs to be responsive to. whilst at the same time making sure that their products are absolutely compromise-free and saying, hey, you know, it's not just enough of this product to be have a good nutritional profile, have functional claims. It needs to taste great, be convenient, and affordable or good value for money. So it's just really interesting, that constant evolution and, you know, never standing still.
Yeah. And same question to you, Adriana.
Thanks, Anthony. Yeah, so I think as we have been touching during the conversation, consumers are becoming increasingly focused on preventive health and better nutrition. And I'm thrilled to see companies like Beneo investing heavily in research and development. It shows me really that the commitment is there, and we really want to empower all our customers to create healthier, sustainable, and delicious everyday products. So I'm super excited about the event coming up in October and showing these new products for FTV Feet and all our functional fibers, functional rice, functional carbohydrates, and proteins that Beneo has been developing over the years to, as I said, support our customers in creating better products for consumers around the world.
Lovely. Okay. If people want to get in touch with Beneo, how do they go about doing that?
They can reach us by email, for social media, phone, through our website, www.beneo.com. Or, of course, they can approach us at the event. I very much look forward to meeting lots of industry colleagues at the Food Matters Live event in October.
Brilliant. Adriana and Mike, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I found that really enlightening. And thank you just for your time and for all your insights.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Anthony and Mike.